Thankful tonight that we all get along as well as we do. It'd be our desire that the Lord would help us to get along better all the time. Whether it's at home, whether it's on a job, or at school, or in a congregation, the Lord has some of that amazing grace that saved us that He'll also put in our lives and make us amazing people with His amazing grace. Certainly tonight it's through His, when you think about what He's done for us, it's certainly amazing. It's certainly astounding to think how He's changed our lives, changed our affections, and all that He's done for us. It's a marvelous thing. But what is even more marvelous to me is not only His love and grace to us, but the fact that He lets us be partakers of that and lets us have a portion of His Spirit and His grace to work and to live through our lives. We want the Lord to bless us tonight as we look into a thought of Peter, I believe it was, in his writings. He spoke to some that was saved, that was established in present truth. And he said, even though that you're saved and you have knowledge of this, that I'll not neglect to bring it to your remembrance. And so that's how I feel tonight. What I have to say is something I probably have preached on before. And not only have I preached on it, but I'm sure that you have thought about it and read about it. And you're well aware of it. And yet I feel it's so vital to all of us tonight in our lives. The fifth chapter of Matthew, the seventh verse, says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That's one of the blessings that the Lord has decreed that we would have. And it's a little verse, but it has a great impact on our lives and on our relationships, one with another, being merciful. Mercy is that which goes beyond what we're justly due. You know, if we have a just sentence, or we deserve something, and something better comes to us, we said, "Well, it was just the mercy of the court, or the mercy of other people," and generally we say it's the mercy of the Lord, really treating us and favoring us more, rather better than we deserved. Tonight, I want to remind us that it's through His mercy that we're saved. I want to turn to the Ephesian letter, and the apostle writes, second chapter, and the fourth verse, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Or He's given us the spiritual realm, or the spiritual life that we enjoy, the righteousness, the purity, the goodness that's in our life. It come by the grace of the Lord, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Notice the ninth verse says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Then also over in Titus, there is that verse that I'd tie in with this thought of His mercy to us. The third chapter of Titus and the fifth verse says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." So it's established tonight that it was not by the works of man, nor was it by our righteousness or our goodness that we're saved. Tonight, if you've been saved for 10 years, and even 20 years, and you've been able to live a righteous life and a good life, it's still by the mercy of God. We never get to the point where we leave that principle, where we leave that I didn't really need the mercy of the Lord. And so tonight it was through His mercy that we were saved. Now some here tonight probably never did drink, maybe never smoked, didn't go to the dance halls. Maybe even someone didn't lie. Very rare is that the case. But once in a while we hear people say, well, they never did tell a story they remembered of, an untruth. But all of us have sinned, and we did wrong. And we were without strength. We didn't have the ability to change our life. There wasn't really any hope in our own selves. We couldn't become saved. We couldn't become righteous. We couldn't become pure. We couldn't change the condition of our life. It was up to God. It was through God's mercy that He saved us. And I think it's important tonight to retain that in our attitudes, to keep that in mind through our life. So easy sometimes to, after we've been saved a while and through the Lord's strength and blessing, He's helped us to live a good life, to kind of feel sometimes maybe that is something that we brought about, or something is through our own righteousness, our own strength. And that gets us in trouble every time. Where it'll be a blessing to us if we can really remain conscious that I'm saved today by the mercy of God, through the merits of His blood, because of His kindness toward me. And the Scripture said He was rich in mercy, that He looked down upon me, and in His attitude, in His feelings, in His words, in His calling, He really treated me better than I deserved. The sentence of death was upon me. And I deserved to die and go to hell. That was my just reward. But because of His mercy, see, He saved me. And that's why I'm saved tonight. You may not think it tonight, but really the biggest difference between your life and the person down on Skid Row is the mercy of God. You say, well, I was raised that way. Don't you know there are a lot of people down on Skid Row that never intended to be on Skid Row? There are a lot of people down there that probably had Christian parents, perhaps, and had every good intent of living a good life, but sin and the power of sin in their life took them where they are tonight. And you would be there tonight, too, and I would be there, except the mercy of the Lord. And we need to keep that in mind when we're relating to other people. Okay? We need to keep that in our attitudes and our feelings to others. When we relate to them, when you're relating to people, we need to recognize that I am saved, I'm living a good life, I'm a Christian tonight, because and only because of the mercy of God. That's what the Scripture teaches, that we're saved by His mercy. Well, in the 103rd Psalm, it tells us some more about God's mercy, and I think it's important to understand His mercy so we'd know how to be merciful. It said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I don't know a better source to learn about mercy than to look to God. And in the 8th verse of the 103rd Psalm, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. And He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. That's how great His mercy is. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I have certainly taken a lot of consolation and a lot of hope in the mercy of the Lord. In times in my personal life, as I live for God, and there were times that I felt that I didn't do as well as I should spiritually, and when I approached His throne, many times have I thought of the mercy of God and really depended on the mercy of God and how that He would look at me, how He considered my prayer, my petition. And many times as I come to His throne, I just simply petitioned or prayed for his mercy. Lord, I've endeavored to live for you. Feel that I've come a little short, and the only thing I have to seek, and the only thing I ask tonight is your mercy. I don't know if you've ever prayed like that, but I want to tell you I've prayed that way a number of times. And I suspect that I'll pray that way some more. So it's through his plenteous mercy and his love to us that he didn't deal with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. Have you ever mentioned that to the Lord? I don't believe that we can excuse our failures in that way, that we say, well, Lord, you know I'm human, because he's provided a plan that's beyond and above human. But when we have failed to have that plan or the grace properly given to us, and we come to him seeking his mercy, we acknowledge, Lord, you know my frame. You know my humanity. You know tonight, Lord, all about me, and I'm pleading your mercy. Just looking, Lord, for your mercy to restore and to strengthen and to help and to bless me. We don't come as the Pharisee in the scripture there, and the publican, you remember, when he come before the Lord and began to tell the Lord how righteous he was and how he fasted twice a week and gave his tithes. I know tonight that doesn't really touch the heart of the Lord, nor does that move him to help us. But when we come before his throne, recognizing that my only hope is your mercy, and acknowledging in your word, Lord, that you said you would pity us even as a father pitieth his children, the love and the care and the concern, that if I will approach you and seek your mercy, Lord, you will forgive, you will restore, you will make whole, and you'll make strong. That's the mercy of the Lord. And we want to acknowledge that. We want to value that and recognize how the Lord deals with us. But I notice also in the 17th verse it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenants, and to those that remember his commandments and do them. So when you talk about an unlimited or unending mercy of the Lord, it is to those that fear the Lord, that honor the Lord. And that puts a check on being presumptuous on the mercy of the Lord. If people don't fear the Lord, if people don't have that honor to the Lord, if they're not obedient to the Lord, then the promise of his mercy is not really there. And that's what happens sometimes in people's lives when they fail to fear and honor the Lord. And to become presumptuous on the mercy of God, it runs out, and then his judgment falls upon them. So when I talk about his unlimited mercy and his great mercy, being rich in mercy, we also want to remain conscious tonight that there is a way whereby that we can get to a place where his mercy will not be given to us, will not be applied to our need. And the way that is to disregard the Lord and to reject him and to not fear the Lord. But I want to strongly impress upon us, every one of us tonight, that the scripture teaches us his love, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And we should never become discouraged in our spiritual life. When we recognize a need, we need to take courage. We need to humbly approach the Lord and simply humble our heart and seek his mercy and let him fill the need of our heart and our life. For the Lord is a merciful God tonight. In Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, it says his mercies are new every morning. And so it is from day to day that we draw the mercy of the Lord. And it's current and working in our hearts and our life. I noticed also in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There was a blind man there. Jesus was coming nigh to him, 35th verse. And it came to pass that as he come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So we find a healing here. Blind eyes open. This man recognized that to be healed, it was the mercy of the Lord. I think it's important that we recognize that too. Even though the Lord has made provisions, he suffered on the cross, and even though he's made a covenant with us that he would be our physician, that he'd be our healer, yet when we approach him, we need to approach him seeking his mercy in behalf of our healing. Not come feeling that because I'm so righteous that I expect to be healed, and that he owes it to me. He owes it to me to be healed. Even though he's made provisions, it still falls under this relationship that I realize, Lord, that you've made provisions, and yet I'm coming to you, and through your mercy, I would that you would touch and heal my body or open my eyes. This blind man, he simply said, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Give me that which maybe I really don't deserve or couldn't earn. Now, we cannot earn our salvation, nor can we earn our righteousness. And something as wonderful and great as healing, I don't feel that we earn that with good works, our own righteousness. But it's through the mercy of the Lord, through his plan of mercy. And so when we seek him and we look to him in faith, and this man certainly had faith, he believed that Christ was able, and he sought him with that faith, but he also recognized that he needed the mercy of the Lord for his healing. And I believe we do tonight too, that through his mercy, and the fact that he's rich in mercy ought to encourage our hearts to know that the Lord is our physician. He is the one that heals. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, the 15th verse, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I would have to conclude tonight that everything that we get from the Lord is through his mercy. Salvation, being restored, our healing, and now just our daily strength and grace and power in our heart and life. We need to come to the Lord in a humble spirit, and we need to come to him recognizing, Lord, really I don't merit, or you really don't owe me anything according to my works. But Lord, through your mercy, I'm approaching your throne, and I need strength. I need grace. I need help. You'll see tonight how dependent we are on the mercy of the Lord. I'd hate to think tonight of trying to live a day without his mercy being given to me. I feel very much in need of that. To be able to live the Christian life, to be able to be victorious, to be ready to meet the Lord, I think without question tonight, it will be through his mercy. And I want to establish that thought with you tonight, how dependent we are upon the mercy of the Lord. Because if we can become conscious that it's only through His mercy that I'm saved and that I remain saved and that I'm able to live righteous and meet the Lord in peace, then we'll realize how much we need that mercy. And my text tonight says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And the promise of mercy is given to those that are merciful. And that's why it's important tonight that we be rich in mercy. Not just exercise it kind of option, and or out of necessity or pressure, but to be rich in mercy, whereby it influences or governs our attitudes, our feelings, our words, and our actions. It goes deeper than maybe just the way we act. It goes deeper than our words. It goes right down into our hearts and right into our feelings that sometimes no one else really knows altogether. And right into our attitudes. This grace of God, this mercy, it is the Lord's will, it's His plan, that as His people we would excel and that we would be rich in His mercy. And we use that mercy in our relationship with one another. And the reason is because we're all different. And we think different. None of us tonight really have the same opinions on everything. And values are different. Spiritual development's different. There are some weak, there are some strong, maybe some even stronger. So there's different places we are in our spiritual life. And intellectually we're different. We're just different in a lot of ways. Even saved and sanctified people are different. And we need to be merciful. And I want you to take this home with you tonight. To be merciful in your attitudes, merciful in your feelings toward others and toward all. That's what will make us strong, strong saints of God. Want to be more like Christ? This is how we're more like Christ. See? Want to be more used of the Lord? This is how you're going to be more used of the Lord. When you recognize the value of it and when you seek it into your heart and your life, that as God is rich in mercy, so I'm going to be rich in mercy. I'm going to have feelings and attitudes beyond and above what people justly are due. See? That's what mercy is. So, well, I can respect someone if they're respectable. Well, the world does that. But can you be merciful to those that maybe are not respectable? Or those who have flaws, or those who you feel are not just where they ought to be. How is our feelings and our attitude toward them? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that's what it's all about tonight, is that we would certainly have good feelings and good attitudes to all people. It's really above the human, isn't it? But it's divine. And that's what the Lord come to put in our hearts and our lives. That's what separates us from the world and from the religious world today is the reality and the divine power and nature that He puts in our hearts and lives. And it should be in us and it should be a part of our testimony and should be made manifest. We should seek tonight to excel in that grace. That when we communicate with other people and when they observe our life, they will see that working with our words and our deeds and our feelings. Well, that person really cares and really loves and is compassionate toward all men, regardless of who they are. I believe that's the standard tonight of being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the second chapter of James, In the 13th verse, it says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." My text tonight was, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And to me, this confirms that, maybe even a little stronger, that that one that is not willing to be merciful, they will receive judgment without mercy, or God's judgment without mercy. And I shudder to think that tonight, that would be any of our experience, to live before God and walk before God and not be beneficiary of all of His mercy because we need it. And I certainly would not want to come under His judgment without His mercy. And so tonight really it's not an option. You know, it's not something that we select to have at times, and you know, I'm pretty merciful to my friends or people that, you know, I'm kind of drawn to. And sometimes people have such a problem with being kind of partial and biased. That's human. But the Lord wants us to be developed in our Christian experience above and beyond that, where we can be merciful not only to our good friends, you know, kind of overlook their faults or their failures, kind of bear with them. And I mentioned that in an illustration before, how maybe someone act just a little unseemly, and if it was a close person to you, your assessment would be, well, you know, they're just tired, a little nervous. That's kind of a merciful attitude, isn't it? But if it's someone that wasn't so close, I really question whether the person's saved. You know, just don't have any confidence. Maybe the two persons would do the same thing. And that's how we react and how we respond. And that's how sometimes we're biased. It is my desire tonight to be as much like Christ as I can. And I want all of us to be that way. I want all of us tonight to be challenged and to seek to be more merciful people, to be more compassionate, more understanding, more forbearing, and that comes through the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I would like to call our attention to the third chapter of the Proverbs. I want to read four verses here. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Then he says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Success, isn't it? But he says concerning mercy and truth, it's right together, isn't it? And that means that we can bind the truth in our heart and life. That means that we can hold up the truth. That means that we can have the standard of truth, unyielding, uncompromising, and yet be a merciful people. Sometimes people get a little confused on that. They feel like that if they are merciful and compassionate, that they're somewhat maybe diluting or failing to uphold the standard of truth. But this scripture says, bind both of them in your heart, in your life. Don't let them forsake you. Apply it as you live. In other words, tonight, we will stand for the truth. We will bind it in our hearts and lives. We'll proclaim it. And I'm not willing tonight, to the best of my understanding, to let down on any of the truth, any of that which is right and righteous. I believe we ought to stand firm and strong for it. But at the same time, be a compassionate and a merciful people. Too many times people become harsh and judgmental. And they feel it's their place to operate as the Holy Spirit would. And they feel like they're upholding truth in that manner. Believe that, first of all, in our own life and through our testimony, that we should always speak that which is true and stand for the faith that was delivered to the saints. Believe in that tonight. Believe in that we ought to be concerned when we see it's compromised in any way. And in a vehement way, in spirit, stand against all compromise or any fanaticism and seek that we be balanced with the truth and hold that in our heart and life, but at the same time be a merciful people. Be compassionate. The Lord should certainly direct us in that and help us to know how to do that. And the Scripture says, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There is a place whereby that we can be effective. We can understand mankind through God's help, whereby that He can help us tonight stand firm for that which is right, that which is true. Don't let up a little. At the same time, be rich in mercy, compassion, forgiveness, forbearing. I believe that's the way the Lord lived, isn't it? When you really analyze and study the life of the Lord, He didn't give away any truth, nor did He add anything that wasn't of the Father. And yet He was so merciful, so compassionate. And I want the Lord to help us all to be that way. Sometimes we say, well, you don't know what people do and how they acted and what they did. We need to learn tonight to separate people's actions from the person. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I love their soul, but I really don't care about them. You ever hear that? Feel pretty good about themselves? Well, I love their soul. Well, souls are not that much identity in that. There are many souls. The Lord wants us tonight to love everyone. Not just their soul, He wants you to love everyone. And learn to not love people's wrong, not love their weaknesses, their faults. God wants us to hate all evil. And when people have evil ways, or when people are proud, or when people are out of order, people are not acting seemingly, it's all right to have a real distaste for that thing. But at the same time, He wants us to be a merciful people toward that individual. And He wants us to love them and to be compassionate toward them. And by His grace, we can be just that. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, familiar lesson here about forgiveness. Peter came to the Lord in the 21st verse and he said, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. It's quite a bit, isn't it? Humanly speaking, I think that Peter would probably have felt pretty justified, you know. Seven times, Lord? Probably if the Lord wouldn't have answered him and it's up to us, we'd have said, that's pretty good. Peter, if you can do it seven times. But the Lord had something deeper than that and greater than that. And I believe it's closely connected with the spirit of mercy that He'll put in our hearts and in our lives. And He said not just 70, but 70 times seven. Do you enjoy forgiving people? Do you enjoy forbearing with people? Well, some might say, yeah, I enjoy forgiving people if they really repent. You know? They really humble themselves and acknowledge and straighten up. Then I really enjoy that. I really enjoy forgiving them. But what if they don't? Do you still enjoy forgiving? Do you still enjoy extending that mercy, that consideration, that attitude that they really don't deserve? I believe the Lord can help us do that. So in the 18th chapter, Jesus gave a lesson. He talked about the kingdom of heaven, likened to a certain king that would take an account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I think tonight you know what that's likened to. That's likened to us. That's likened to our debt. While the Lord may have paid that debt a good many years ago, it was still there. And it was something we couldn't pay. It was something we couldn't change. We didn't have. We didn't have it to pay the debt. And yet, in his compassion and his mercy, every one of us, he looked down, and whether it was at a public altar or a private altar, and the tears was flowing and repentance in our heart, and we were seeking his forgiveness and having that atonement applied to our heart, broken in heart and seeking his mercy. And he loosed it, didn't he? He forgave it. Took away all the guilt and the condemnation and give us life. And that's what that's talking about. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. I wonder tonight if we ever do that. If we ever take someone by the throat by attitude or by feeling. You know, someone may have not treated us just right or done just like they should have. And maybe we were strong enough in our own self to not physically attack, you know, or put a hand on. Maybe we even did a little better than that and was able not to say anything. And I can appreciate both those. But there's something deeper than that. Sometimes people grab their brother and their sister by the throat in attitudes and in feelings. There's not enough mercy. When we think of how great his mercy was toward us, how great his compassion was, then the very least I can do is be compassionate and be loving and be forgiving and be merciful to all my fellow brothers and sisters in the depths of my feelings and in my attitudes, recognizing that the Lord bears with me, knowing that it's his mercy every morning that helps me, knowing it's through his mercy when I approach his throne that he gives me the grace and the strength to rise above and to make the quality of life, spiritual life that I enjoy, it is through his mercy. And therefore, as I recognize that when my brother and my sister misbehaves, acts unseemingly, or doesn't treat me just like they should, I'm going to respond with the mercy of God. I'm going to be rich in that mercy. I'm going to love. I'm going to care. That'll help us get along, won't it? Kind of shake your head sometimes when you think about this man being forgiven such a great debt and yet just able to go to a fellow servant with such a small debt, take him by the throat, refuse to have mercy, want him to be cast into prison, judgment, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is what the law says and this is what you deserve and this is what I'm going to see that you comes your way. That's what it was. How did God think about that? Wasn't very pleased, was he? When he looked down, and it was reported, when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry, and they came and told the Lord all that was done. And the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I don't want the Lord to call me wicked or to feel that I am wicked in any way. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from the hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Goes deep into our hearts. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Remember that tonight. How important, how really important it is that we don't tolerate bad attitudes and feelings toward others in our life. I'm not so ignorant tonight to stand here and tell you that you don't have temptations. I know tonight that we all have temptations with other people and even brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have a nice way of saying it. Brother or sister so-and-so really tried me. It makes it sound pretty good. It just was a real trial to me. And there isn't anyone here tonight, I don't think, that would stand up and say, no one ever tries me. But when we are tried, we need to draw from that strength from the Lord. And we need to draw from the mercy of God to enable us to look to God and not let it just lie for a time. Not let it just work on us in any way, but recognize I need more love, I need more grace, I need more mercy in my heart and my life to feel right and to think right. And to care about that one that's a trial to me. Over here in the third chapter of Colossians, the 12th verse, take note of this. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, therefore, as saints. What does he name first? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. But elect of God, put on bowels of mercy. Let that be a characteristic of our lives. That should be something we ought to be concerned about. That it would be evident that it's working in our heart and life, just like anything else. Then if you have differences or misunderstandings, quarrels, as it's referred to here, forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. I want to encourage us tonight to forgive one another without really asking. If you feel someone has not done you just right, to forgive them even as Christ forgave you without them even asking. Let the Lord develop your spiritual life to that place. No, they didn't ask me. They didn't acknowledge it. Maybe sometimes they're not even conscious. That happens. But I love them and I forgive them even as the Lord forgave me. One brother used to say, in his testimony, well, I forgave them before they ever did it. Well, I don't really think you can forgive till it happens. But the preparation was in his heart, and the mercy was in his heart. And therefore, he was prepared always for whatever came between him and others. And he said, I just forgave them before they did it. Well, perhaps in his decision it was that way. In closing, I'll remind you of the scripture in Micah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. For he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is our desire tonight for all of us. We want to be a spiritual congregation. We want the power and the presence of the Lord in our midst. And for that to happen, it has to be in our lives. And so may the Lord encourage each one of us tonight to recognize how good he is to us, how merciful he is. and seek that we'd always have an abundance of His mercy in our heart and life. Amen.